This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Such a fun game. The anxiety
always a fun game. Always a fun game.
All I kept thinking was when they had the ball with 13 seconds left and Şengün catches it right there, everyone in Warrior Nation, Your entire organs are in the middle of your stomach, ready to be thrown up.
Hey, how much did you miss playoff basketball? Like yesterday felt so. Like I know it's been, but there's just a different feeling with playoff basketball.
It's the best.
And this is what Stephen Curry wanted. He just wanted to be playing in meaningful games, not the play-in crap.
No,
none of that. That's a meaningless game. Unfortunately, it had some meaning this year. It ended up being perfect because you ended up playing the Houston Rockets in the first round instead. And you're up 3-1 on them. So it all worked out. But he wanted to be playing meaningful basketball. Talked about that at the start of the season, during the season, when it was a slow, after the hot start and it started slowing down, they were mired in mediocrity. Like, that's all he wanted to be doing. And Mike Dunleavy, again, I cannot give him enough credit. We don't bring up his name enough. General manager of the Golden State Warriors. Going out there and making that move for Jimmy Butler, getting rid of Andrew Wiggins, first round pick, making all those trades, the Dennis Schroeder era gone, Kyle Anderson, Anthony Melton. I know, it sounds funny.
I've almost chosen to forget it.
And he's actually been really good with the Detroit Pistons, by the way, Dennis Schroeder.
I know, he had a pass yesterday, the other day in transition. He threw it.
No, he's great. He's a playoff performer. He is. But it just wasn't right for this team.
Not a regular season performer for the Warriors.
It didn't work for the Warriors. This system is difficult. Yeah. And Dennis talked about that. He's like, dude, it's really hard playing next to Stephen Curry, which makes it all the more crazy how seamless it's been with Jimmy Butler. Like, how many people have talked about how difficult it is to play in this system with that player? And it's been seamless for Jimmy Butler. Why? Why has it been so easy? That's what I guess my question is.
He's such a great player. He's so smart. I mean,
but he's not a three-point shooter. So that's why it's funny.
Because he knows how to make the right play. This goes back to IQ. Why has Pods been so successful in this system?
Why? Because he's a high IQ guy?
Yes. Why has Post been so good?
High IQ guy?
Yeah, like you got to be smart. You have to have instincts. You have to understand how to play in the read and react. And you have to be able to make quick adjustments in-game and then carry out whatever the game plan is and what it's required of you. Like, there's a reason why Kevon Looney's been on this team a decade. He's smart. You know, what he lacks in physical prowess, he makes up for in IQ. Like, the number one attribute for this team is intelligence. I'm talking about basketball intelligence.
Can we give credit also when it comes to the intelligence, the head coach, putting Buddy Hield in the starting lineup? Like, that was a big move. Moses Moody had been starting. That starting lineup was at one point undefeated. We were talking about, is this the greatest starting lineup in the history? It's like, everyone relax. It's like a 10-game sample size. But they were really good together. Pods, Moody, Draymond, Jimmy, Steph. That was the lineup. Moody's just not, this isn't a series right now. It just isn't. Offensively, it has been challenging for him, to say the least. Put in Buddy Hield, riding the hot hand. We were talking about that in a given game, Joe. Hey, in a given series, just keep doing it. Hey, get the starting role. An opportunistic defense and him being a willing defender, that has been the most refreshing part. I know that the offense is why he's out there and making the three-point balls, but Buddy's defense, man, I've been impressed. He's got size. He's been using it, and he's no slouch defensively. And it's refreshing to watch.
The thing I slept on with Buddy Hield is actually his effort level is way better than I thought.
Yeah.
He tries really hard. Like, defensively, he can get turned. He can, come way too far out on someone and get blown by. But, like, the whole league is filled with guys like that. The key with him, he actually rebounds better than I gave him credit for, and he gets the loose balls. He has a knack for getting to these loose balls. Does he over-dribble? Yeah, he does from time to time. Does he take a couple of heat checkeries? Yeah, he does. But they kind of need him to, and I think that he offsets it with just activity. And I've been very impressed with his effort level, which, again, I didn't see that coming with him.
Steve Kerr talked about it after the game yesterday, the contributions from one Brandon Pajemski and Buddy Hield.
Both guys were amazing. Brandon's big time, you know, second year player, but plays like a 10th year guy. I mean, he's just got so much poise and confidence, and he was obviously a key to everything. And then Jimmy getting to the line 12 times really carried us, especially in that fourth quarter. You know, it was just an incredible performance by our guys against a great team that, you know, gave us everything we could handle tonight. So it's a big time win.
It was just a great playoff game. I know everyone's like, it was pissed off that the pace and the officials and all of that, but that's baked into the playoffs. And I love the chippiness. I love the spiciness. I love Dylan Brooks and Steph going at it. I loved all of it. I love Draymond Green trying to break up a team huddle and being that instigator first and foremost. I love Ime Udoka getting out on the court and being angry. I know you hate the guy. I love that stuff though. It makes it fun, man. I'm tired of buddy, like everyone being friends. I'm tired of that.
I agree with that.
I love Jimmy Butler talking smack to Dylan Brooks. Say what you will about Dylan Brooks. I'll say he's good for the league in this sense. Everyone hates him.
Yeah.
So that's something. The worst thing you could be is just no one cares about anything. It's just indifferent. That's the worst thing you could be when it comes to entertainment. Like if I would rather people hate me. I get a lot of hate. That's fine. Good. Hate me or love me. Don't be indifferent about me. And so, that's what Dylan Brooks is. Everyone hates him. And it was great for the league yesterday. I loved it.
Kerr on the front end said that Pods plays like a 10-year vet.
Mm.
There was a point in time this year where he would dribble into trouble, jump stop, and then pivot into infinity and either throw it away, throw up a poor shot, or the entire possession would be compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Three different times last night, he dribbled into the short corner and then realized, oh, here comes the trap, and either dribbled back out or kicked it out quickly, which got the action going and got Houston scrambling. Those are the subtleties of Pajemski's game that have grown tremendously in the last 2-3 months since his return from the original injury, not the abductor strain, whatever that first one was that he missed 12 games. He isn't dribbling into trouble. And then when he does dribble into trouble, he acknowledges it immediately and either dribbles out of it or passes out of it and then relocates. He's done a great job growing this year. I mean, he really has. Like, I've been very critical of Pajemski at times. I will not question his effort. I will not question his irrational confidence, which is required for him to play alongside these legends. The guy has grown so much in this year. And I think, you know, to Kerr's point, like, he identified it before all of us, and he's lived through a lot of the growing pains, and now you get the birth of a kid who showed up in a big playoff game that you had to have.
You know what I love about Pods, too? The showmanship. He loves it. He walks that fine line of arrogance and cockiness and the confidence, all of it, but you love it when he's on your team. And he's still doing the challenge. He just does it all the time now.
Did you see the little kid?
Right, yeah, the little kid behind the bench. I think Matt Nahegan posted it.
Challenge. Doing the challenge thing. And it was hilarious.
Pod,
he had Pod's hair, too. Right, little, like, whatever they call that.
Yeah, I call it the Mahomes thing, whatever it is. The curly thing. Hair, the faux hawk, whatever it is.
Jack Harlow.
Thank you. You got the curls. Yeah, curls for the girls. Am I right? Pod's. Pods after the game on.
Oh heck yeah!
Thank you, Jan, for Jana Mountain View, and sound courtesy of NBC on talk about Chase Center being amazing.
It was electric. Chase was on fire tonight, and we know the odds when we get up 3-1 instead of 2-2. And so to protect home court, and now have to win 1 out of 3. Hopefully we can just get it done on Wednesday. But Chase was amazing. Fans are great. This is crazy.
The other part about Pajemski. It's a really important one, actually. We talk a lot about, like, Kyle Shanahan and how he treats a quarterback. You have to have a specific demeanor and toughness about you to be on Kyle Shanahan's team at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's even more difficult to play on Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green's team.
Ooh.
And to be scrutinized with this fan base and those players, these legendary players, you've got to have a level of bounce back. And some guys kind of, you know, like where if I'm getting yelled at on the court, I just kind of sink. Pods just kind of like doesn't back down. He's like, all right, no problem. And just keeps going. There is something about his demeanor that it's almost perfect. I call it irrational confidence. There's more to it than that. I can't put my finger on it. But to play alongside Dre is tough.
Well, it's what they had when Jordan Poole on that championship run, that irrational confidence, the pool parties, the money time, all of it. He was a showman.
Yeah.
He was a showman. He did. I know How it ended wasn't great. And I know people still like cringe, oh, Jordan Poole. We can talk about it. Jordan Poole was a really good Warrior and part of a championship squad that'll be remembered forever. And you need scoring contributions from players like that. Players like Brandon Pajemski, when Steph doesn't have it, how many times, God, the last 2 years, if Steph didn't play well, they were losing.
They were done.
They were cooked.
And if Dre was in foul trouble like he was yesterday, and he sits the entire second half, there's just no chance for winning that game.
These last two games showed you why the Warriors can go all the way through the Western Conference finals, I should say, and maybe even go through them. You had a great Stephen Curry game when you needed it without Jimmy Butler. And then when Steph didn't have it, Jimmy Butler returned and balled out and was your leading scorer. That's the recipe right there. And watch out if both of them are on. That means it's scary hours if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Denver Nuggets or the Los Angeles Clippers, Oklahoma City Thunder, Boston Celtics. If those two guys are on and playing well together and you get contributions from a Pods and a Buddy Hield, they're unbeatable. Well, they are. No, they're unbeatable.
But Joe, they've got to... They got to stay healthy. They need a little bit of rest.
Which is why that win was huge.
Exactly. Like, they're going to have to not get baited into additional texts that could come back and bite you a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now. Like, there's a lot that has to, I hear you, a lot has to go into it. But the difference between 2-2 and 3-1 is monumental.
It's funny you said that because I'm just, you know, I'm looking to the future here. I'm going to my DeLorean and going to the future. Shout out Doc Brown. Potentially awaiting on the other side is some more hilarity, and maybe not to the level of the Houston Rockets, but there is the Stifle Tower.
I mean, it's Gobert.
It's Rudy Gobert. He's awaiting that. And you're all ready for the chokehold. All the videos are going to be showing. Anthony Edwards is no saint in his own right. He's going to try to get under your skin on the court.
Jaden McDaniels.
There's going to be a lot.
And don't forget Julius Randle.
How can I forget Julius Randle?
He's actually had moments against the Warriors.
Well, he's actually been playing sneakily. Not even sneakily. He's been really good for them.
Going back to the Lakers, yep. Going back to the Knicks. He's had a lot of different things with the Warriors.
He's going to be a tough guard. I think Jimmy Butler's probably going to have the assignment. That's a conversation for another day. As both teams are up 3-1, we expect them to close out those series. But again, do they do it in 5? Do they do it in 6? Or hell, does one of these teams push the other team to a 7-game series? I think the Warriors would love if the Lakers won tonight to extend that series, because now you can start looking a little bit after you took a commanding lead. And can you take care of business tomorrow in Houston? I would love that.
Joe, the one last element regarding the Minnesota Timberwolves, you do get the A-Rod factor too. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But there is an A-Rod factor to this as well.
There is. I keep posting the meme of A-Rod going nuts. He was at the crypto arena just yelling on the court. I cannot wait for that.
But
can we get a Joe Lacob versus sitting next to Alex Rodriguez?
I need the Lakers and the T-Wolves to go into overtime for the next three games.
I'll bring out a LeBron jersey for you. You can rock it tonight. You'll be the biggest, as you say, HGH fan. Joel in North Bay wants to join the conversation. Joel was at the game yesterday.
Joel,
how was the vibe yesterday?
That crowd was loud.
All I got to start off with is Warriors.
Heard that
channel. No, hey guys, it was great. The energy was great. It reminded me a little bit about Rorikel. Don't get me wrong, Chase Center, I don't think we'll ever get to that point, but there was definitely moments where it felt like that vibe was all there. The way the Warriors started at the beginning, defensively, they locked down, got those turnovers, quick points, they went up quick, got on the board. And then when Draymond was in foul trouble, I know you guys already touched base on this a little bit, but Jimmy Butler, man, coming in there and saying, my guy's out, I'm going to step in, I'm going to take over, I'm going to be that bad dude on the court. And he slowed down the game, and he turned it up when it was most needed.
That's Joel in the North Bay. Thanks, right. Joel. Hey, the Warriors' chance, to his point, from start to finish in that game, they were fired up. After that first one, were they up 12 points, like in a blink of an eye? I was like, oh, this is going to be a blowout. And then, of course, you know, in typical Warriors fashion, in typical Rockets fashion, oh, they battled right back, and they have a closing end of the quarter where it's 28-26 Houston. I was like, wait, what? And then Houston builds that lead. They get a 7-point lead at halftime. It's like, oh, boy, here we go again. Warriors bounce back. They win the third quarter, and narrowly win the fourth quarter to narrowly win the game 109-106 to take a commanding 3-1 series lead. But the atmosphere, That is something, man. Hey, Chase definitely has a soul because they've already won a title. Now it hasn't been in Chase Center. Has any of the Warriors titles ever been at home?
2018?
The first KD one.
The first
2017.
KD.
Okay, 2017. I knew one of the KD ones was.
Because it feels like almost always it was on the road for the most part, whether it was in Boston or Cleveland, obviously.
I felt the energy through the TV last night late in the game.
No, I
felt
it.
Especially in the last 5 minutes.
I felt it. The fan base was engaged from start to finish. There were, as we talked about yesterday, the halftime, there were a lot of empty seats coming back from halftime. But again, that's baked into the playoffs. People got to go to your potty breaks, got to do your food, got to do whatever you got to do.
Concourses are crowded.
No, they're very crowded. It is. That place was packed. It was like sardines packed in a can yesterday, Joe. Let's go to E in San Jose.
What's up, E?
Wants to talk one Jimmy Buckets. What's up, E? What you got, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know if you remember. I called you last Monday. I called Dylan Brooks baby braids. And I said that if Draymond kept his cool and somebody else stepped up to do what needed to be done, and sure enough, there it was. Jimmy Butler even quoted after the game saying, I don't like Dylan Brooks. He did what needed to be done, put Dylan on his, you know what. Draymond, for the most part, kept his cool. He towed the line. It was close, but he got it. And Warriors in five, baby. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, boys.
Good. No, it should be Warriors in five. That's what you want. You don't want this coming back to Chase Center. I don't want that. Sweep the leg tomorrow. Sensei Kreese. All right. Johnny Lawrence on LaRusso. That's what I want. Is it Danny LaRusso? Danny LaRusso. I just finished Cobra Kai a couple weeks ago. Great series. Highly recommend it on Netflix. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, here's more from Jimmy Buckets. Sound courtesy at TNT. Trying to answer some questions, but he's getting hounded by all of his teammates.
Well, Jimmy, we meet again as your teammates come over to you, just pouring you with love, saying, this is why we got you. How rewarding is hearing that from these new teammates?
It means the world. I die for these guys, for real. It's so fun. I got my joy back, as some would say. But more than anything, it's always good to win.
Let me go, man. Go back there.
What are you going to do?
Nothing on national TV.
Save that for later, right?
That's awesome. I mean, just... You know, I would die for these guys. Wow. No, that's okay. Like, see how love that guy is? This guy was enemy number one.
I can't believe it.
8 months ago. It was on ESPN. It was everything. Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, Jimmy Butler. Oh, they hate each other.
He was so toxic. Only the Phoenix Suns and the Warriors wanted him.
He was wearing Phoenix Suns Kevin Durant shoes to try to force his way out of there.
As happy as we are, isn't he also as happy, if not more?
Did you just hear what he said? I got my joy back.
It's incredible.
He's having fun playing basketball again.
It's incredible.
By the way, Ian San Jose referenced it. He was asked by Anthony Slater, our guy Anthony Slater, will join us tomorrow of The Athletic, covers the team at a very high level. He was asked about Dylan Brooks and the chirping.
You've said people start talking to you. Are you talking about Dylan Brooks?
Yeah. Yes.
Anything you want to share that he said?
No. I mean, I like it. I think we all like when people start chirping. It's been this way this entire series. I don't think it's going to change. And we're going to go out there. We're going to compete. And we're going to go do what we're supposed to do in Houston.
And then he obviously had said, yeah, I don't like that guy. I don't like Dylan Brooks. It's like, but he liked the chirping because you know what? It brings something out of it. Like, that is what the Michael Jordans of the world, not saying he's Michael Jordan, but that sort of mindset.
Well, there are rumors.
Well, I know. Stop. That he's his son. I know. I think I've seen the Anthony Edwards one, too, where they put the faces together where it looks just like Jordan. I know. Relax.
Well, the internet.
Yeah, I know. It's funny that it's Anthony Edwards. I'm not going to go down that road. Anyways, but talking about Jimmy Buckets in this regard, the mindset, right? You don't want to poke the bear. And Dylan Brooks has a history of doing that. Whether it's to Steph, whether it's to LeBron, whether it's now to Jimmy Butler, is he ever going to learn his lesson? I guess is what I'm asking.
No, but that's what he does. Like
You know what's unfortunate, though, real quick on that?
Of his game.
You know what's unfortunate, real quick? I think Dylan Brooks has actually had a really good series.
No, he's been, I would say, their most consistent player outside of Shingun.
I think he's been really good offensively and defensively, a little bit better defensively. That's what he's known for. But efficiency's been there for him offensively. But no one's going to be talking about it because he's doing all the other crap. That's why. So that's what, and I get it. Well, that's where he hangs his hat on. It worked a little bit, and the Warriors.
I mean, he got Draymond off the floor.
Sure, but he poked the bear in Jimmy Butler and he eviscerated them later. He eviscerated them.
That's true.
That is what you are going to do when you play with fire and you're Dylan Brooks. You try to pump your own team up? No. You have too many young players on your team right now. That shouldn't even be a factor. They should be up for this already. Like, their juices are already flowing. Like, there is something to be said, and there's a lot to be said about the experience factor, but especially when you have the likes of Draymond Green, Stephen Curry, and Jimmy Butler. How many playoff games and playoff moments do they have combined?
Oh, there's so many of them.
Yeah, thank you, Joe Horn. They have like hundreds and thousands of playoff minutes allocated to those three guys alone. And I love Fran VanVleet, and he showed up yesterday. And he showed why he's a playoff performer, and he was a champion and a one-time All-Star. He showed out yesterday. Alperen Şengün, I think, showed why he was an All-Star. Steven Adams in this series has shown why he has had big moments in playoff series. Outside of that, the rest of those guys came up small. Dylan Brooks, I thought, was good, but Amen Thompson, they needed that a couple games ago. Not in that game yesterday.
Yeah, but
they
he's 22. That. He's in his second year.
Jalen Green. Inconsistent, man.
No, like I would agree.
That's a guy that I'm scratching my head out going forward, saying, yeah, maybe I should look at Jabari Smith off the bench. Maybe he should get a starting role a little bit more and go even bigger, if you will, because he's not doing it defensively. If he's not doing anything defensively, he better be scoring. And if he's not scoring, what is he doing? He had 5 turnovers yesterday. 5. Those are killers. Absolute killers.
Well, and he's not understanding his assignment defensively, and Ime benched him.